Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves FanRank website. And if you wanted the articles written by Adam King, he's doing great work over there. Also, you can check out the prior podcast today. We're going to take a look at the East and Western Conference matchups for the finals in both those conferences. We're going to take a little bit different approach to looking at those matchups. However, we have both the Warriors and Rockets in the Western Conference and the Cavaliers and Celtics in the Eastern Conference. But we haven't done one of these in a while. I'm going to look at the angles betting-wise for these two games just because we have a little bit of space now before these series start up. Sunday is the first game for the Cavs Celtics series, and then of course Monday is the first game for the Warriors Rockets. So both those, all four of those teams, maybe a surprise from the Celtics, but as far as the other three teams, definitely the teams that you suspected to be there when the dust settled for the conference finals. Should be really fun, really excited for those teams to start matching up, and it'll be fun getting people, various people over the next couple of weeks to look at that series and really help us break it down as that goes along. But today I wanted to get a gambling perspective. We haven't, like I said, done a gambling podcast in a while, and this might not be playing to the majority, but I think these are fun to do. I think that the fellow gamblers like myself out there enjoy them, and I think that there's stuff to glean from what Vegas says about these teams, from the odds and the lines and everything like that. The numbers are changing. I placed bets. I laid some money this morning, and the lines are already changing. So we're going to go over some of those. We're also going to finish out the episode with the recommendations I have. And these are, again, I wouldn't recommend anything that I wouldn't bet myself. So these are bets that I've either made or I'm going to make here before the day is out. So that's what's coming up here. Let's dive into it, shall we? So the first thing is the odds for the championship. Locked in here before the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals kickoff. You have the Golden State Warriors, the only favorite at minus 130. The Houston Rockets at plus 230. Cavaliers at plus 500. And then the Celtics at plus 2000 to win the championship. Now, I like the Warriors here. I think that minus 130 on a team with four All-Stars definitely isn't bad money. I think you obviously have to lay down quite a bit to actually get some returns, but I think that it's a solid bet there if you just wanted to load a hunk of cash down on the minus 130 for the Warriors. The Houston Rockets, the team I bet on in August to make the finals for the Western Conference, so not to win, but just to be in the finals for the Western Conference, now is on the precipice of making it there. And if I want to kind of double down on that bet and take them to win the championship, plus 230 is definitely very solid money there. Cavaliers, both Western Eastern Conference teams, really, I'm not even looking at to win the championship. I think that LeBron makes it there to the finals, but he just doesn't have the firepower to beat the Toronto Raptors essentially on his own, or to take it to the Celtics, which I think they will, but I think that game will probably go to six games. We'll get to that later, but to take it to the Celtics like I anticipate him doing is one thing, but to go up against the stacked roster of either the Rockets or the Warriors, that's just a tall task, and those two teams average way too many points for LeBron to really take over the game for a long enough period to where he compensates for the lack of scoring around him and the lack of playmaking around him. So I'm taking either the Rockets or the Warriors. I'll probably double down on the Rockets, but either one of those two teams I would go with just as far as championship odds. You look at the Cavaliers and what's around LeBron. I just don't like the roster around him to compete with the Rockets and Warriors. going to the individual series here. You have the Cavaliers, obviously, are the favorites. This is actually a number that's bumped up this morning. It was at 275, and now it's already up to 300, minus 300. And then you have the Boston Celtics at plus 250, Warriors minus 190, and the Rockets plus 165 just to win those individual series. Now, again, I could... If you're going along, if you're one of the people who thought the Rockets had a legitimate chance of making the Western Conference the finals this year, then you were able to make a wager on it, you're probably going to want to double down on the Rockets. Now, here's the thing. When you're looking at the Warriors-Rockets, this is really interesting because I think a lot of people look at this and they say, oh, this is just one three-point shooting team against another, and you just hope that Klay, Curry, and Durant knock down more threes, and Draymond knock down more threes than the duo of Chris Paul and James Harden. And you simplify it down to that, which I think is the wrong approach. It's early in the morning. I got some of those early morning yawns and groans still, but... when you're looking at this series, I think it's more pace, two different kinds of pace that you're seeing clash here. So when you look at the Warriors, they have very quick style of play. They're passing it around the perimeter. They're finding the open guy. They're making a lot of passes. The pace is really fast, and everything that they're doing is up-tempo. They're making sure that a lot of guys are touching the ball on each possession. If you look at the Rockets, and the Rockets, by the way, I really like this style of play, but it's definitely not, I don't think, as popular as other styles, especially not the Warriors. But when you look at the Rockets, they're going to play a lot slower. Their pace is going to be a lot slower. It's going to be a lot more isolation. They're going to use screens to open up guys like Harden or Paul at the top, and then if the screen doesn't work and the double team kind of collapses on the ball handler, that's when you pass it to a guy like Clint Capela, who's going to be dashing towards the basket. But you're not going to play as fast as the Warriors. You're not going to go up-tempo. If you look at the Rockets, they played tons of isolation throughout the season. The frequency, or they had isolation possessions. They, if you're looking at the regular season, excuse me, this is playoffs. Let me get to the regular season. If you're looking at through 82 games, they had 473 possessions in... Excuse me, that was the Chicago Bulls. I'm all messed up on my stats here. 82 games, the Rockets had 1,280 possessions of isolation basketball. That leads the NBA. And just for kind of a comparison, Oklahoma City, they had only 959 isolation possessions. They are second. So that's kind of the disparity. That's how often they're running isolation. They scored 1,400 points off of isolation throughout the regular season. They average 1.12 points per play off of isolation. This is a team that not only runs a lot of isolation basketball, but they're also very successful off of it. They're going to go to a lot. And then when they've run a lot of isolation through James Harden and through Chris Paul, by the way, great job by D'Antoni to play these guys staggered enough so that these guys are getting enough isolation to themselves that they can work off each other when they're both on the court at the same time. That's something that a lot of people, including myself, thought would be a problem in the regular going into the regular season. And he has done a terrific job with both those guys. But anyways, back to the point, when they're playing so much isolation, You eventually start having to double team guys, and you eventually start having to open guys up on the perimeter, and that's when a guy like Trevor Ariza, guy like PJ Tucker, guy like Gerald Green, guy like Eric Gordon, guy like Ryan Anderson, when those guys start getting open threes, that's when this offense becomes particularly dangerous, because all those guys can knock down threes, and so they're going to get open looks eventually. And when they're playing this isolation system, heavily off of Harden and Paul. And so that's kind of how their offense works. It's a little slowed down for some people, but it's really fun to watch, in my opinion. The problem is that against the Warriors, they're going to play small ball. The Warriors are going to play a lot of small ball. They've been playing Draymond Green. They've been playing even Kevin Durant at the five. And so that's going to kind of neutralize some of the things that the Rockets do, because when you're switching and you have all these long guys and they're playing smaller basketball, one that kind of puts Clint Capela at a disadvantage. He's been terrific throughout the playoffs, but these guys are going to be, he's going to have to guard somebody. He's going to be a lot better of a three-point shooter than Towns or Gobert. And so this is going to mess him up, for one. The second thing is that I don't think the Warriors are going to have as much trouble switching and finding their man as any other team the Rockets have played in the playoffs, which means that they're going to have less open shots. The isolation that's worked so well for them is going to really shoot them in the foot, because I think that if you have somebody like Klay Thompson, for example, on James Harden, and you have to switch and Capela comes up to get the screen off, well then you're switching from Klay Thompson to Kevin Durant or to Draymond Green. Both those guys can cover a guy like James Harden. I'm not saying that James Harden's not going to score if those guys are on him, of course, but both those guys are going to be able to cover a James Harden. And so you look at the pace of the Golden State Warriors. They had a 101.985 pace rating throughout the regular season. That was fifth in the NBA. And the Houston Rockets, they were not even in the top 10 for pace. They ranked 14th, 99.73 pace rating per 100 possessions. So you look at just the fast pace that the Warriors play, they're going to be able to control this game better, because their personnel is going to give the Rockets more problems. So all that because of the length they have and the defense that they're going to be able to play against the Rockets that the Rockets haven't seen yet in the playoffs. So all that to say, I'm taking the Warriors at -190 on the money line, and I've actually parlayed the first game of the series, game one on Monday night. The Warriors are a -105 money line. I've parlayed that, the Warriors' chances to win the playoffs, or to win the finals, excuse me, and the series win. I've parlayed all that together, so that's a pretty good return there. But then to flip gears to the Cavaliers, I have bet on the Cavaliers as well. Again, LeBron James is playing ridiculous basketball, absolutely ridiculous. He dismantled the number one seed in the playoffs, which is, by the way, when he swept the Toronto Raptors. That's the first time that a team that has been the number one seed has been swept in the semifinals. So, I mean, what can you say about this guy that hasn't been said? He's averaging 34 points per game in the playoffs this year. He's averaging 41 minutes in his 15th season in the playoffs right now, and he's averaging over 9 rebounds per game. He's averaging 9 assists per game. He's averaging almost 2 steals per game in the playoffs. This man is a monster. And if you saw against the Raptors, if he can just get enough guys hit, if he can just get Love going, if he can just have Kyle Korver hit, knock down a couple shots, if he can get one or two games from J.R. Smith, if Jordan Clarkson contributes in one or two of these games, I think it's going to be way too much for the Celtics, because there's not a guy that can guard LeBron James. And the Celtics kind of made their money throughout the first two series of the playoffs by slowing down the game and by playing really sound defensive basketball and then turning around and knocking down threes. And so when you're playing really good defense and you're slowing down the pace and you get a team down by a couple possessions right away, you kind of saw a few times that the Philadelphia 76ers, the Milwaukee Bucks, go into panic mode and try and up the pace and take sloppy shots, take quick possessions where they're shooting early in the shot clock, and against a defense that just doesn't work, and you can kind of dig your grave a little deeper. And so against the against the Cavaliers, the Celtics are going to have trouble because LeBron is playing such great basketball, and he's shooting 55% from the field in the playoffs, so he's playing a really efficient basketball as well, that it's going to be hard for them to really control the game because LeBron's going to be able to control that so well. So I know that this is kind of the easy popular pick, but to continue to bet it with LeBron is just the smart decision. And sometimes you gotta take the smart decision. Maybe everybody's going with it. I know there's plenty of bettors who say if everybody's betting on it, you gotta bet the other way. A lot of times that's true, but when it's LeBron James is in the conversation, sometimes you gotta go with the king, the best basketball player in the world, and you gotta bet with him. We're gonna take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to my bets as well as maybe a little prediction time. First, sponsors. So the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals are all locked in and set. You have the Cavaliers and Celtics in the East playing for a trip to the Finals. And in the West, you have the Warriors and the Rockets. So I alluded to this earlier, but my big parlay for the next month and a half is I have the Warriors at -130 winning the championship, parlayed with the Warriors winning their series against the Rockets to go to the finals at -190. That line on Bovada is up to -200 now. And I also parlayed that with the first game of the series, the Warriors to win the first game of the series, -105. So all that parlayed together, you bet 40 to get you 122. So that was my first little bet, a little parlay to keep me going throughout the entire playoffs and finals. Other bets that I like, even though I've made a lot of Warrior bets in that parlay, and it's a little bit of a hedge, and I usually don't like to hedge, but I did bet the Rockets to go to the finals in August, and so to have them at +230 win the championship kind of doubles down on that bet. You can also, as of right now, take them at +170 to go to the finals against the Warriors to win that series. And so if you make those two bets or you parlay those, either way, that's solid money. And if you're of the opinion, or like me, if you put down some cash early on the Rockets going to the finals, you can still clean up and make some pretty good money as well getting in on that right now. Again, they have to beat the Warriors, which is easier said than done, but yeah, if you want to continue to lay down money there, that's a pretty good value. Right now, Celtics +250 to beat the Cavaliers. That money line has been jumping around a little bit already as well. You have the Cavaliers already at -300. I wouldn't take it there. I think that you're just laying down too much money. I think the Cavs will win, but I think there's other ways to make money on this series, better ways to make money. You have the Cavaliers at -115 on the money line on the first game. That game is on Sunday, this coming Sunday. So 115 money line. The spread is at 1 point. For the Cavaliers-Celtics game, I would go with either one of those, 150 on the money line, 110 on the -1 point spread for the Cavaliers. The over-under, I also like 203. If you think the Cavaliers are going to win most of these games, then you can go and you can bet on the 203 over, because they'd have to pick up the pace. You're thinking that if they're winning this game against a good Celtics defense, they're probably scoring about 110 points, somewhere in that range. And I think that the Celtics would be pretty close on their heels at about I believe all these games will be pretty close because the Celtics defense and the poor roster around LeBron James this season. But a 98 or a 100 to 110 or like a 110-105 game, you're hitting the over either way there. And then both of those also cover the 1 point spread, so I like those as well. If you want to get really fancy with it, and you could go into the Celtics game, and they have some alternate lines. I like as well the first half over at 51.5 points. Under at 51.5 points. That's the first half for the Boston Celtics, thinking that they'll get under 51.5 points. And then you have the total points for the Cavaliers. Total points in that game for the Cavaliers, 101.5 is the over-under. I really like going over for that one. Again, I think that the Cavaliers are going to have to score a lot of points against the Celtics to win these games. Just like you saw against the Raptors, most of the time they're putting up a ton of points in those games. You saw them put up tons of points against the Indiana Pacers. I think they're going to have to get around that 110 range to beat the Celtics in this game one. And so putting some money on the over at 101.5 points on the Cavaliers over-under is a solid bet. And again, that's a minus 125. So these are all bets. You're still betting with the Cavaliers, but you don't have to lay money on that minus 300 that the Cavs have for the series against the Celtics. So those are the bets that I'm either making or I'm throwing money at later today. I hope this was fun for you guys. A little bit of a different way to break down the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Again, we'll be talking about this a lot. We'll be talking about this as they're going down and previewing games, all that good stuff, telling you what's happening. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope that even if you aren't a degenerate gambler like myself, you can make a little extra cash this NBA season. So everybody have a fantastic day, and thank you for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.